Brothers and sisters, it's a joy to be with you all today. I want to introduce, many of you know him, a dear friend of our community, Father John Finley, who's the chairman of the Department of Missions and Evangelism for our Archdiocese of the Antiochian Church, and a dear friend of our community for a number of years. And he did our retreat yesterday, so I asked him to preside today and to preach about the gospel today. So let us be attentive. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It is my joy to be with you during this season of preparation for the Holy Nativity. We read from the Gospel of Luke during this season, and there are many stories of the problems of wealth, of spiritual infirmities, and today spiritual blindness that we hear as a part of our preparation to receive him as a babe in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world. The homily this morning is about physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And the verse that I would like to focus on is this verse. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. The main point that I hope to get across today is this. Our spiritual blindness, is revealed through the physical blindness of others. Our spiritual blindness is revealed through the physical blindness of others. Saint Nikolai, in one of his commentaries, says, "You see all the poor people on the street, the poor and needy people. Why are they there? They are there for our sake. They are there because God put them there to convict us of our sins and to show us what our soul looks like to Him." That hurts, doesn't it? That stings. Why are they there? Because they're lazy bums? That's not why they're there. Ultimately, that's not why they're there. They're there because God placed them there to show us what our soul looks like to Him, so that we'll repent. And so the physically blind should always remind us of our spiritual blindness and convict us of our spiritual blindness. Saint Porphyrios, whose memory we celebrate on this day, once said, "Love Christ and put nothing before His love. He is joy, He is life, He is light. Christ is everything. He is the ultimate desire. He is everything, everything beautiful is in Christ." This requires spiritual eyesight to see Jesus Christ in this way. Because not everybody can see Jesus Christ this way. Because not everyone has been given the spiritual eyesight. Back many years ago, I used to tune and repair and rebuild pianos for a living. And as a part of that profession, I was a member of a local piano technicians guild. And there were two blind men who were a part of that guild. And I remember noticing that they could often see more You know, their hearing was keen. They were very good at tuning the piano, but they could even repair the piano better than I could. They could see more with the tip of their finger than I could with my eyes. It was really amazing. One day we were having a picnic in the summertime, and we were sitting there waiting for all the, you know, food to be laid out and prepared to eat. And my friend Dennis was sitting next to me, and he says, "Wow, what a beautiful sunshiny day today." And it really took me back. And I said, "Well, it is, but Dennis, forgive me, can I ask you, how do you know it's a sunshiny day?" He said, "Because I can feel the warmth on my skin." And he just laughed. He knew. He had another kind of eyesight besides this. He had this kind of eyesight with the tip of his finger. So there's another kind of eyesight. And there's a spiritual eyesight. St. Nikolai gives us an illustration of this. He says, "God wills through the physically blind to reveal the blindness of the spiritually blind. Blind eyes do not come from God, as do all other defects and sickness. It is from human sin. Were there no spiritual blindness in man, all the physically blind would in a stroke receive their sight. But as long as there are the spiritually blind who do not see God in their spirits, God will give an image of their blindness in the closed eyes of the physically blind. They are a gift to us, are they not, in the spiritual realm?" He presents a contrast to us between believing people and unbelieving elders and leaders. He says, "Sadly, many blind men, very, very often found today, very many who would desire to approach the Lord Jesus are hindered, most often by those who go before, the elders of the people, spiritual guides, and the writers. Many thirsty souls cry out to Christ and are mocked and silenced." You remember this in the gospel? The man's banging away, you know, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the leaders were saying, "Stop, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you." It is usually the poor and the simple whose hearts are not so hardened by malice and vice who strive to draw near to Christ and cry out to Him, while those who have lost the way and wander among the thorns of this world threaten them and keep them away from Christ. And that which happens with individuals can happen with whole peoples, with whole nations. Simple people in their masses over the whole of Europe, for example, cry out to Christ as the only discerning leader and savior, while those who lead the nations of Europe mock them and try to silence them. He wrote this 100 years ago in Europe. And look at where we are today in America. How the leaders try to silence our cries out to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and for the salvation of our nation. We shouldn't let the leaders stop us from approaching Jesus Christ. We're here today, aren't we? To approach the Lord Jesus Christ in the body and the blood of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, bring him to me. Bring him close to me. And when he was brought close to him, Jesus said, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Before he had said, Son of David, have mercy on me. But when he was brought close into the presence of the Lord, he felt the Lord. He received his sight before he received his sight. And he cried out, Lord, instead of simply Son of David. He cried out, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And we can see this happening in others of the 12 disciples. Do you remember when Jesus first called the disciples by the seashore and they were fishing? And Jesus said, have you caught any fish? Master, Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night, but we haven't caught anything. And he says, cast on the other side. And he said, at your command, I will cast. And the nets were breaking. They had so many fish. And when Jesus stepped onto the boat, what did Peter do and what did he say? He knelt down before the Lord and he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Before he said, Master, we have toiled all night. But when he came into the direct contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Do you remember when Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus Christ? And Nathanael said, at first, can anything good come out of Nazareth? We know that he wasn't being sarcastic or cynical, because Jesus said when he saw him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And he said, I saw you under the fig tree. And when he came into the direct presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you are the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. And so do you see how coming into the presence of the Lord can change us, can enlighten us? And we need to believe that when we come forward this morning in the Holy Communion to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our mouths, into our minds, into our hearts, for the strengthening of our will, that we will receive from Him spiritual sight, and that we will recognize Him as the living Lord, and to live in Him and follow Him as the risen Lord. And so we have a profound encouragement today from the gospel lesson, but also from the epistle of St. Paul. He exhorts us to put on spiritual armor, not physical armor. He uses the images of physical armor, but what is he really asking us to put on? Do we think we can defeat the devil with a belt, with a breastplate, with army boots, with a shield, with a helmet, with a sword? Rather, the devil is defeated when we put on truth, when we put on righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation in the Holy Scriptures. And notice that we are exhorted to put it on. In other words, for us to take an initiative in this. Just like the blind man took the initiative. Banging. Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They told him to shut up and he got even louder and louder. And faster and faster. In the same way, we will not defeat the devil with our physical eyesight, but with our spiritual eyesight. May God heal our spiritual blindness and reveal to us what we don't see. Reveal to us what we don't understand. And bestow upon us a renewed spiritual insight into the fallenness of this world, which is passing away, and the glory of His everlasting kingdom. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us sinners. We beg You that we might receive a true spiritual insight, both into the world in which we live and into the spiritual battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. For Your name is holy, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.